Trish, thank you for reading that text out of Deuteronomy. We're going to start there with that text. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life. Those words are from 3,300 years ago, the words of Moses, who was a classmate of Pastor Dennis's. Actually, Dennis corrected me after the service. He said he was a year behind me. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose. Choose life. Which do you prefer? Prosperity or adversity? Life or death? Now, I pretty much know how you'll answer that question. At least I know how you'll answer that question intellectually. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Which would you like? What do you want your story to be? Life and blessings or death and curses? I pretty much know how you'll answer that question, at least intellectually. The reading from the book of Moses, from the book of Deuteronomy, is a part of Moses' farewell address to the people of Israel. In short, he is encouraging people to keep the Ten Commandments. You see, Moses believed, and God taught us, that life is better for everyone if you don't go around killing your neighbor, or talking behind their backs, or lying about them in court, or trying to steal their stuff, or sleeping with their wife. Now, intellectually, we agree with God, but every day, we have a choice. We can choose to keep the commandments, or not. We can choose blessings or curses. We can choose prosperity or adversity. I am officiating later this afternoon. I'm officiating at a wedding. I'm guessing that this is about my 350th wedding that I've officiated at, and I currently have a 62% success rate over any 10-year period for them. The bride this afternoon is a granddaughter of this parish, and the groom, they have no idea what they're doing. Now, they are well-educated, college-educated. They are clearly in love. They've seen the seasons together, been dating for 5 years. They have the support of their families. And given what I have seen with them, I'd say they have a much better than average chance of making this a marriage that will last a lifetime. Having said that, they have no idea what they're doing. What do you know about better or worse, richer or poorer, when you're 24 years old and have been mostly carried through life by supportive parents and grandparents? Sickness and in health? What do you know about sickness and health when you're 25 years old and you once suffered from a cold that forced you to miss 2 days of school? Sickness and in health, over 50 or 60 years? Yeah, it's probably better that they don't know. It's probably better that they don't understand what it will really mean if they are blessed to grow old together. It is probably better that they don't understand what it means to sit by their beloved side as cancer eats their body. It's probably better that they don't understand the exhausting and terrifying journey of losing your life mate a little bit, a little bit, a little bit each day as they sink deeper into dementia. What will I tell this young couple this afternoon? I will tell them that I'm happy for them and that I will pray for them. And I'll tell them that love, the love that they are promising for the rest of their lives, has very little to do with romance or sex or feelings. The love that they are promising is a choice. It's a choice, a decision to be made each and every day for the rest of their lives. Each morning when they wake up, they must decide, am I going to be faithful today? Am I going to be honest and patient and trustworthy and kind today? To love someone over decades is a decision. It's a choice that must be made over and over again each and every morning. Moses said, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, blessings and curses. Choose life. Every day you have 100 or more decisions that you have to make, from the very mundane to the critical. Now, I should say that the decisions we make have very little effect on God. Here's what I mean by that. God will love you no matter what you choose or how your life ends up. You can be the biggest disappointment in history, and God will still love you. Perhaps no one else will, but God will. And you can be the biggest disappointment in history, and that's not going to ruin God's day. It's not going to ruin God's day if you decide to do something that's ill-advised or self-centered or destructive. Having said that, it's going to ruin your day. And it's going to be hurtful to those you love, your family, your friends, your coworkers, to your health or society as a whole. But God is not going to suffer from your misguided choices. The choices we make will largely determine the quality of our lives. Blessings and curses, prosperity and adversity. But it's not just that simple. Others make choices too. Choices that hurt us. Choices that we cannot control. Many here today have been betrayed by loved ones or by a company that you thought cared about you, or by the thoughtlessness of others, or by just plain bad luck. But even in the midst of those unfortunate realities, we still have choices. We may be victims of circumstance or betrayal, but we need not be defined by unfortunate happenings. We need not remain victims. God's word gives us instruction, direction, and hope for a better future. Daily choices. You do not have control over the world, but you have some control over your own daily choices. Now, early on in his life, the Apostle Paul, who was then known as Saul, lived, we might say, a somewhat charmed life. He was a Roman citizen, which was important, and gave him great power. He was protected by Rome. He could travel freely. He had been educated at the feet of the finest rabbis in the world. He had been blessed. He had lived a life of privilege. And then he met Jesus, and everything changed. He met Jesus, he discovered the grace of God, and he lost everything in this world. His family disowned him. He was beaten with rods on 3 different occasions. He was nearly stoned to death. He survived 3 shipwrecks. He was hated by the Jews and by the Gentiles alike. He had been hungry and thirsty and almost died of exposure. And now, as we encounter Paul in this morning's lesson, where is he? He is in prison. And he is inching closer to death row. And ultimately, he would be beheaded. He would be executed like a criminal. And yet, listen to the words of Paul from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The words of the Apostle Paul, but the words from Apostle Paul, not just from anywhere, no, from prison. Not everything is in your control. In fact, most things are mercifully out of your control. But every morning, when you wake up, you do have choices. And those morning decisions will set a tone for the day ahead. Your morning decisions will have a direct effect on your daytime demeanor. Now, we all know the term. You're familiar with the term waking up on the wrong side of the bed. That old figure of speech speaks of the importance of starting your day off right. Morning decisions. Okay, will I work out this morning? My dear wife would answer in the affirmative. I, on the other hand, don't really like to sweat. Morning decisions. Will I eat a healthy breakfast? Will it be donuts or oatmeal? One will put a temporary smile on your face and a little more around your waist. The other is going to make your heart happy, but both are choices that you have. Will I take time this day to meditate and pray? Now, Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that the more challenging the day was that was coming to him, the more challenging the day was to be, the earlier he would get up in the morning. Not to prepare, not to get busy, but to allow more time for prayer. Morning decisions. Will I be faithful to my spouse, loving to my children, honest with my employer, and love my neighbor? Morning decisions will have a direct effect on your daytime demeanor. The truth is, if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, then no one really wants to be around you. Why? Because your bad mood should not be my problem. And worse yet, your bad mood could be infectious. I would maintain that for better or worse, we infect everyone we come into contact with. We are carriers. Some are carriers of joy, and some are carriers of gloom. Do you want to be known for your infectious joy or your infectious grumpiness? The decisions you make each morning will go a long way in determining what you will be a carrier of that day. Remember now, from that prison cell, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Have you been doing your share of rejoicing lately? If the answer is no, and I want you to try a new morning routine. Do not start by reading how the world is going to hell. Do not start your morning by turning on the news and focusing on things that are totally out of your control. How can you digest your oatmeal or your donut if you're watching hurricanes, riots, a roller coaster stock market, angry public discourse, and politicians who are acting like politicians? The Apostle Paul tells us that he found the secret. He found the secret of rejoicing even as he sat on death row, and he shared the secret with us, writing this: whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. True, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, worthy of praise, think about those things. Dwell on those when you're down, and they may lift you up, and you may be able to rejoice always.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Sometimes you just have to turn off the news and open your eyes and see the blessings that are all around you, to see that that glass is mostly full. Reminding yourself of all of your favorite things, of all that is good in your life. Now, having said that, we all have things that are lacking, and they're real. You may not love your work, but if you're working, that's good. The people you live with may annoy you from time to time, but perhaps if you really think about it, they might have some good qualities too. We know that no life comes without challenges. We are all lacking in certain ways. No life is without problems. But come on, we get to live on Whidbey Island. If you're visiting from somewhere else, I'm sorry. But we have room. You can move here and join us. We get to live on Whidbey Island. And so go to the beach, go for a walk, see the eagles, and give thanks to God. Now, I had a man in my office recently, and I admire him and the journey that he's on. And he currently has nothing, no car, no home of his own, no work, no money. He has spent the last 20 years in the school of hard knocks, but he is attempting now to rebuild the foundation of his life. He is trying to make good and healthy choices each day. And I asked him then, as we're talking, how he started each day. And he said, each morning, I begin my day by writing down 10 things that I'm thankful for. Now, I heard this and kind of scratched my head thinking, you don't have a pot to pee in. What could be on your list? And he said, clean socks, hot coffee, the sound of birds outside my window, fresh air in my lungs, this church, and God's love for me. The list was in some ways Spartan at best. He was thankful for things that most of us don't see or take for granted. And that's when I thought of Paul sitting in that jail 2,000 years ago, and this sermon began to take shape in my mind. 1,800 years after the Apostle Paul, President Abraham Lincoln led this nation through the darkest days of our history. In the midst of unthinkable carnage, as he carried the weight of a nation on his shoulders, Lincoln said, "I have found that most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be." Is your glass half empty or half full? Is your life half empty or half full? I have found that most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Rejoice always. Whatever is true, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, and worthy of praise, your favorite things, think about these things. Do not let yourself be consumed by the things that you lack. Be grateful for what you have. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, blessings and curses. Choose life. Make choices that are healthy for you, like choosing to put yourself in the path of the gospel as you have this morning. Make choices that are healthy for you, like forgiving others and then forgiving yourself. Be careful what you put into your body, but be even more careful about what you put into your mind. Make choices that are healthy for you, like surrounding yourself with people who care about you as you have this morning. Choose life, be faithful, be trustworthy, be kind and patient and compassionate. Love. Love is a choice. It's a choice to be made every day. I'm not sure if we'll be outside or inside this afternoon, but they're going to stand there, this young couple, hand in hand, and they're going to make promises. Do those kids know what they're getting into as they exchange vows for life? Probably not. May God help them. And may God help us. Make your choice this morning and every day. Choose life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen.